Donate online at africamuslimsagency.co.za. Africa Muslims Agency, inspiring the spirit of giving.
The best way to get you going. This is VOC Breakfast with Gulam Fakir and Sabira Sheikh Yassar. Only on the Voice of the Cape.
Welcome to it. This is Breakfast on 91.3 FM with Gulam Fakir, Sabira Sheikh Yassar, with you all the way through until 9 o'clock this morning, inshallah. So as you may know, that yesterday was the deadline for Hajj travel operators to refund pilgrims. Last week, SAUK issued a warning to Hajj tour operators to refund people who could not perform the pilgrimage last year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so last night, you know, SAUK was pleased to announce that since the last two correspondences that they've issued in the last 2 weeks or so, there have been some of the Hajj travel operators that have completed, agreement and the refunding. But to talk us through this, Mr. Shaheen Esop is the president of the South African Hajj and Umrah Council, to flesh this out a little bit more for us. Shaheen, salam alaikum, and shukran so much for joining us on Breakfast 91.3 FM. Six of those operators gave, basically reasons as to why or how they can go about doing that. Just take us through this, you know, in terms of how many operators actually came back to you guys, complied with the deadline, and gave some reasoning behind it before we get in any further.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah Gulam and Sabira for the opportunity, and all the very best to everybody down in the Western Cape in this beautiful week ahead, inshallah. Yes, as the press release indicates, that six of the eight operators have basically reverted back to SAUK within the stipulated time, and basically given an indication as to, you know, what their plans are, how they're doing things. As we well know, as of now, as of this very moment, there is still extreme difficulty to get monies out of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia from a perspective of monies that were paid over. So none of these Hajj operators have basically been paid by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia as yet, are sitting with that money. That we just need to make very clear. And secondly, I just want to make it very, very clear. When publicizing a list of this nature, Hajj operators' names are placed onto this press releases. It's in no way to defame anybody or to make sure that people, are sort of classed in a lower category of service or anything of that nature. It's purely from a transparency point of view and to make sure people are understanding of the process that he's going through. This is a very difficult one. It's a very unique one. We've never, ever had a situation like this in the past. And I think it's only imperative that people understand that, you know, for the intent that it is, presented. Okay. So where we stand right now, in terms of these six Hajj operators, they've either come back, and one of the Hajj operators, in fact, in the last 10 days or so, subsequent to our 1st of February, press release, had indicated that, through the efforts that we have had and through their continuous efforts as well, there has been some monies repatriated from one of their counterparts in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And as a result, they've managed to pay out quite a significant number of pilgrims in that particular regard. They're waiting on some, assistance from local, businessmen who have been, in the process of assisting them with some significantly large numbers that will help them to fulfill the balance of the outstandings. For the rest of them, they've come to us with a plan. They presented their plans. We've looked at it and we've interrogated it. And at this point in time, I think, we have comfort in the fact that there seems to be an end line in place from a perspective of operators that have come forth and presented to us, with the effort that they have done. The unfortunate thing is that two of the operators, unfortunately, have not done that. They don't have a plan, or they don't seem to have a plan, because it was not communicated to SAUK. They're merely waiting for money from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia in order to repatriate back to the pilgrims. So we're at a process right now where not only those two, but others as well, where we believe we need to relook at the codes of conduct in terms of the assistance that these people, or these operators had basically presented to SAUK in terms of the information requirements that, SAUK has asked. There's a code of conduct signed between operators when they are accredited and SAUK. And breaches of that code of conduct needs to be fleshed out. And the necessary, internal disciplinary processes will thereafter ensue.
Now, Shaheen, the two operators that you've mentioned, I'm assuming that SAUK has actively attempted to engage with each and every operator, right? So why is it that these two operators would not come to the party?
I can't answer for them, unfortunately, Ghulam. As I've indicated earlier, my assumption is that, you know, they don't have a plan, or if they do have a plan, they haven't communicated that plan, and all they're waiting for is funds from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, or alternatively, you know, Saudi Arabia to open up so that business process can go forward, and, you know, they can do what is necessary to try and, you know, pay the pilgrims that are outstanding. Mm. So I really can't answer it because I'm not in a position to do so.
Mm. Noted, yeah. Salam Shaheen, just in terms Salam of Sabira. These two operators now, you know, will Sahuk be going forward with a disciplinary or legal process against them? What follows now?
Oh, well, we've indicated, as I've said a little bit earlier, the disciplinary process will basically unfold, not only for them, but for every other operator that has been on Sahuk's books, to ensure that, you know, whatever breaches of the code of conduct are in place, we will then, you know, assess it and take the
perhaps
the
enlightening
forward.
Us in terms of exactly what does this disciplinary process entail?
Well, initially, the National Hajj Operator Accreditation Committee will review the code of conduct in terms of the cooperation or in terms of, you know, the communication between Sahuk and the specific operator. Once they have found that there are breaches of the code of conduct, a charge sheet will then be meted out to that particular operator. They will come to a disciplinary process where there is an external independent chairperson who sits and adjudicates the information presented by Sahuk and the you know, information presented by the aggrieved party. That independent chairperson looks at all the matters at hand and makes up you know, his or her mind insofar as that process is concerned, and puts out a you know, a disciplinary fine or, you know, a recommendation in terms of what needs to be done for that particular process. So it's not something that happens overnight, unfortunately, but, you know, the process will run parallel to where we are right now.
All right. And then it's quite interesting that, you know, even though Sahuk has mentioned to those hujjaj, you know, to not leave any money with operators, we see as per the statement that many have opted to leave their funds with the Hajj operators. You know, does Sahuk still advise them to, you know, sort of retrieve those funds from the operators?
This is not a new advice that Sahuk has basically put on, Sabira. Mm. We've been advising pilgrims for the last 7 to 10 years not to leave monies with an operator. Let's look at the situation from a perspective of where we stand. Number one, we can't foresee the future. We don't know what the future is going to hold for that particular operator or for the industry at large. And specifically in this day and age and in the time that we find ourselves with COVID-19 at the helm of everybody's tongue, with business falling by the wayside, not only the travel industry in the Hajj and Umrah space, but travel industry at large falling by the wayside or finding it extremely difficult to operate in these times. Ramadan, as we know, is closed for South Africans and for people around the world because the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia have indicated until now, they've not changed that their borders may only open on the 17th of May. So again, it means that where are these operators going to find the funds if that is their only form of business in that particular area of expertise? We're a little bit concerned in that particular regard, but again, you know, it's up to them to come and tell us what their plans are, and not for us to speculate.
Now, also, Shaheen, with regards to, you know, the Hujjaj, if they didn't hear anything from the operators, you've set another deadline now for Friday the 26th of Feb.
Yeah, we can't give Hujjaj an open-ended process. What we can do is we can actually utilize mediums like yourselves, you know, that is very wide, and other radio stations and other forms of media to ensure that Hujjaj that are aggrieved that have not been paid, whether it's from the 6 people above, whether it's from the 2 people below, at the end of the day, we just want to create a list. Because remember, we are being told one thing from an operator, but we want to match it up from the Hujjaj's point of view as well. So if, for example, one of the pilgrims in that 6, you know, don't fall, let's just use a hypothetical scenario. Shafiq's travel says that 5% of their pilgrims are pending. If in the 95% there's still 1 or 2 or maybe 10 people that have not been paid, they need to come forward and tell Sahuk, we have not been paid, then we can take that up with the Hajj operator accordingly. But I think it's imperative that people understand that it also can't be open-ended from their point of view. They need to, by the, you know, end of the week, come back to us and tell us whether they've still got outstanding balances with the operators, so we can then go and tackle the operators accordingly.
Shaheen, and then of course via the statement we have seen that, you know, Sahuk has stated that there is no news relating to the Hajj for this year 2021-1442, but just in terms of, you know, re-looking at the current protocols that we have and establishing, you know, perhaps new protocols so that we're not saying or we're not seeing ourselves in a similar predicament in the future, you know, what is Sahuk currently doing?
Well, we're in the process of revamping a whole process with regards to accredited Hajj operators. You know, I'm not going to give more details on that at this point in time because it still needs to be, you know, ratified by our NGC, the National General Council. And before that ratification, I think it's kept as an internal process at this point in time. But there has to be a way that we need to revisit the whole process of Hajj operator accreditation, and specifically from a risk point of view. You know, you can't find an operator or an entity that is in business trying to palm off risk to a pilgrim. I think that is the one most important and key factor that needs to be understood in the whole, you know, equation of Hajj operating or Umrah operating, for that matter.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that for this morning. Sahuk's Shaheen Esop there speaking to us with regards to an update about the Hajj refunds for last year, 2020-1441. Six of the eight operators have come forward to provide some further information and a plan of action going forward. They have prioritized in terms of accommodation and flight refunds. I think most of them are awaiting those flight refunds as well. But in terms of those accommodation refunds, that pretty much has been sorted out. So it's good to see some headway being made in the story. As further information does become available, we certainly will be keeping you updated.